Bloomberg on the Economy with Mike McKee and Carol Masser. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
With us has been Neil Grossman. He's Chief Investment Officer at TKNG Capital Partners. And joining us right now is Josh Rosner, Managing Director, Banking Analyst over at Graham Fisher & Company. Turns out the two of them knew each other when they were younger. I had no idea.
Absolutely.
I've tried to keep it secret.
Neil was my next door neighbor.
I love that. Were you guys talking about banking and banking crises? Were you predicting it way back then?
No, I was doing a lot of crying as his brother was pushing my face in the snow and
not
he was
a nice
protecting
brother.
Me.
Oh, Andy was okay.
But he was okay.
I was a lot older.
He was a lot older.
And I was talking about physics and math back then, not finance.
And so it begins. Hey, Josh, you've got a great report that's been out, and I know we've been covering it on Bloomberg TV and I know on Bloomberg Radio, and now I get my turn because it's about JP Morgan. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, you are someone who called the housing crisis, you called the problems with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac long before everybody else was. And I know you, there was a lot of pressure, I think, back then when nobody believed it. Mm-hmm. And you were spot on. And with JP Morgan, you've been talking about JP Morgan with me
exactly.
to the side for a long, long
exactly.
time. And now you've got your report out and
right.
you say out of control.
Yeah, I mean, the issue here is everyone wants to peg the London whale as a trading loss. And it's really not a trading loss as much is it's an internal control failure. And it's one of an extraordinary number of internal control failures at JPM over the past, well, really, I go back to 2009. I list them out. And really what you've got is a company that's paid out just in settlements. And I'm not talking about the mortgage putbacks. I'm not talking about the litigations on the mortgage side. I'm only talking about two mortgage-related issues in the report and those settlements. But with all of the other settlement segregation of client fund issues, violation of position limit issues, anti-money laundering violations, et cetera, you've got $8.5 billion of settlements between 2009 and 2012.
And they did nothing wrong, right?
And that's about 12.5% of net income. And, yes, in every one of those, it was settled without admission or denial of wrongdoing.
I'll never understand that.
Even though several of them were sort of recidivist violations where after the first violation, they said, we'll go back and fix the underlying problem. And then they get hit again and again. And so really, the issue here is the company's too big to manage, plain and simple. I don't think that Jamie Dimon is not the best manager of the big banks. I think he is. But at the end of the day, this really demonstrates that it's an environment, it's an organization that A, has perhaps the wrong incentives, and B, is just too large to manage.
And do the folks in Washington even have any clue that it's gotten too big to manage?
That's the interesting thing. So I think what you're hearing from a lot of analysts is, well, Washington will never do anything. The companies are massively powerful lobbying organizations. That's historically been true. But in the past really 2 or 3 months, there is the beginning of a very real and significant sea change of thinking.
And it certainly felt that way with the hearing on JP Morgan and Senator Carl Levin.
There's no question. Now, you have a right-left alliance that really is starting to emerge. While they may disagree on how we get there, whether it's raise capital requirements to the degree that they choose to break themselves up, or we proactively recognize that, you know, like the Teddy Roosevelt era, these are large trusts and we need to break up the trusts, there is a sea change. And I think that it's going to get even more important as we get to the summer months when these companies have to provide their living wills, according to Dodd-Frank, of how they would be resolved if they had problems. If the companies don't put forward credible plans, you will end up seeing the FDIC and the Fed really forced to take actions, whether that is immediately increasing capital requirements until they do demonstrate credible living wills or not. You've got the regulators who are increasingly aligned with we got to do something here.
Right.
You've got the legislative bodies as well. And frankly, just like ultimately became a Fannie and Freddie, where it became toxic for legislators to be associated
and
with them.
And you liken JP Morgan to Fannie.
I do liken JP Morgan to Fannie. Now, that's not to say it's going to zero. It's not to say that they've got massive accounting fraud.
Right.
But it is to say that they've got internal control problems.
And lots of lobbyists.
And exactly.
And
they have built up their lobbying organization and their grassroots local state outreach unlike any other firm. And usually, and that's one of the key things, usually that becomes a sign that there's something else going on there.
You know, that was Fannie's model.
Well, that's right.
Fannie mm-hmm. interfered. I don't know if anyone remembers, there was a gentleman named Richard Baker,
yep.
who was a congressman, and he was the head of the subcommittee on finance, I believe.
Housing.
Right, and he tried to take Fannie Mae on, and of course he got bulldozed over and pushed out, and of course he was right to what he was trying to do, but the lobbying was enormous.
And they used not only direct lobbying, not only did Fannie and conflict out all of the lobbying firms in Washington so they didn't lobby against them, not only did they dominate trade organizations, but they had an enormous foundation
yeah.
that was used to garner grassroots, local, state support for their housing initiatives. And we're seeing very much that same model here.
So I'm sorry.
I was going to say one of the interesting things in this crisis that sort of gotten swept under the table is Fannie Mae and Freddie together, when this whole thing started, had about, I think it was $1.8 trillion of debt outstanding, which financed mortgage mm-hmm. purchases, mm-hmm. and $3.6 to $3.8 trillion of guarantees.
That's right.
And the U.S. government guaranteed all of their liabilities. But that's actually not carried on the U.S. government's balance sheet. So if you actually want to look at things, U.S. actually has $2 to $3 trillion more of outstanding debt than is actually being measured.
Which is now creating part of the problems of the ultimate resolution of the enterprises.
So what's next then for J.P. Morgan? What do you anticipate will happen, Josh? If Washington is actually kind of waking up and there is an alliance of the right and the left, does... Well,
yeah, so legislatively, I think you're going to see a couple of bipartisan bills introduced to break up the banks. Obviously, we've seen language entered into legislation this week, which really says we've got to eliminate the subsidies that the too-big-to-fail banks get. Now, mm-hmm. that's not going to end up passing the House. That's fine. But we are going to see bipartisan legislation put forward to break up the firms. We are going
to actually break them up.
Yeah. We are going to see large discussions of Dodd-Frank has a resolution regime which treats these companies quite differently than most firms that go bankrupt. And so as part of that resolution regime, the FDIC had to figure out how they would wind down these institutions. One of the issues is they've created what's called the single point of entry. So you're going to go in resolving one of these firms from the top, from the holding company,
right.
net out the operating subs. Those that are healthy go on, and those that are unhealthy end up going with the holding company. What we'll end up seeing with that is a discussion of forcing the banks to raise a lot more long-term debt mm-hmm. at the holdco as well. So that's a second. And then we've got the regulators now pursuing the Whale, Madoff, etc.
Things do change then.
Exactly.
Listen to Bloomberg on the Economy weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.